Thanks, Kristen. I'm Rob Ferret.
And I'm Veronica Rickert. You're listening to Central Time. Well, according to our next guest, no genre in recent years has been more predictable than the children's movie, and their messages of encouragement and self-esteem are being taken to an extreme.
He says it's time to re-examine a classic kids movie from 1969 for a reality check. Let's take a listen.
It's my turn next. Here's my first word of the spelling bee. Failure? Yes, ma'am. That's an easy one.
Boy, that's one word he should know well.
Failure. F-A-I-L-U-R-E. Failure.
That's a clip from A Boy Named Charlie Brown, the movie our next guest thinks Hollywood can learn a thing or two from.
We're joined now by Luke Eplin. He's a freelance journalist, and his new piece in The Atlantic is called You Can Do Anything. Must Every Kids Movie Reinforce the Cult of Self-Esteem? And we've got a link to it on the Central Time Facebook page. Luke, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me on.
Can you talk about the crop of kids' movies that were released this summer and how it got you thinking about the basis for this article?
Well, I actually started in reverse. I saw A Boy Named Charlie Brown on the recommendation of a friend in February, and I was rather shocked by it. I think that it's a movie that that goes against a lot of conventions. Charlie Brown is a failure at the beginning of the movie. He suffers through sort of humiliation, failures, all the whole thing. And at the end of the movie, he ends up qualifying for this major spelling bee and ends up kind of failing in a tremendously embarrassing fashion at it. And it really shocked me to have a children's movie operate like this. And so I decided that I was going to take a look at some of the more recent children's films that were released and see how it compares to this movie.
Well, let's give a listen to one of those movies. This is one out this summer called Planes.
I've flown thousands of miles, and I've never been anywhere. Not like you. You were built to fight, and look what you did. You're a hero. I'm just trying to prove that maybe, just maybe, I can do more than what I was built for.
So that's a crop duster, I believe, who wants to be a racing plane. And if he believes he can do it, he can. You talk a lot about the magic feather syndrome in the movies you're looking at. What is that?
Yeah, that's the magic feather syndrome is a phrase that I've coined for this this term, for this piece. And generally what it means is that these movies are revolving around these sort of anthropomorphized figures who have to overcome the restrictions of their societies or even their species to realize these sort of impossible dreams. They have a sort of liability in the case of Planes, as you mentioned. The titular character is a crop duster, and he wants to be a world-class racer. So crop dusters generally aren't known for being very good racers, but it actually turns out to be kind of a strength for him. He's able to do things other planes aren't able to do, but first he has to sort of relinquish the clutch of the magic feather and sort of believe in himself and realize that he's had it in him all along to accomplish his dreams.
But it's not just this one movie. I mean, you cite a whole mess of children's movies who have this same theme of believing in yourself, overcoming the odds, and you say not working very hard for it. You mention Wreck-It Ralph. There's Turbo, a snail who gets to drink some magic juice and suddenly he's very fast.
Right.
And the list just keeps going on. And it's funny because I didn't really realize what a sort of phenomenon this was until I read the list of all these kids' movies. What are some of the other ones?
Well, yeah, I mentioned a few in my piece. Turbo and Planes were the ones that I really examined. And I thought that they were interesting because they basically have similar plots. The characters have similar motivations. And they were released by separate studios within a month of each other. And so it does seem like they are a sort of default template for what I think is the most common animation plot now. I mentioned in my piece Ratatouille, where you have a sewer-dwelling rat who dreams of becoming this sort of world-class French chef. Kung Fu Panda, where you have a fat panda who's going to become a kung fu master. Wreck-It Ralph, a video game villain who wants to be a hero. And it sort of goes on and on. I should mention, though, that I think that these movies exist on a sort of spectrum where they're not all sort of reinforcing what I'm calling the cult of self-esteem. I think that certain movies like Turbo and Planes are very very sort of out there in terms of having these characters dream impossible dreams and then by the end of the movie sort of make it. There are movies that sort of have these conventions that are still quite good. I think Ratatouille is a fantastic movie, but it does sort of adhere to that template still.
But you can't have a movie about a sewer rat who loves to cook and learns at the end of the day that rats can't cook. They can't be chefs. I mean, that's not a movie, is it? So what should the lesson be?
Well, no, it's not a movie to have that. And I'm not saying that these movies shouldn't be hopeful or inspirational or anything like that. And actually, I think Ratatouille is a really fine movie. It's very well executed. I think some of the problems that I have with these movies are that they have these characters doing sort of impossible or sort of things that you wouldn't expect, like a crop duster or a snail, to do. And it's fun to take that journey along with them. But at the end of the day, if you're going to have them compete in Turbo's case, the Indianapolis 500, where a snail competes against these race car drivers, or in Plains' case, where you have a crop duster in the world's foremost racing event, you take these characters from zero to the top of the world in basically one step. And so you're not showing that there's any sort of sacrifice or there's any sort of struggle that it would take to get to the top of this ladder. It's basically you go from the bottom rung all the way to the top in one step. And I think that there's something problematic about that message.
Well, maybe we skip some steps there, but it isn't a positive message. Don't accept limitations. You can go out and do anything you want. Don't let tall odds stand in your way. Is that wrong?
No, I don't think necessarily it is wrong, and I think that you're right that there is a very positive message to be had in there about making sure that kids don't have avenues closed off to them whenever they're thinking about these movies or themselves or what they're learning from these movies. But again, I do think that there are some ways of presenting it that are perhaps better than others. Like, I don't necessarily think that it's a negative thing to portray failure in these sorts of movies. I think that the very fact that in Planes, for example, this crop duster even qualifies for this amazing race, considering he's never entered a race in his life, is a victory enough, and I don't necessarily think that he would need to win this race to prove anything to himself. And I think that, in fact, it might have a better lesson for him and perhaps for the audience for him to lose to a decorated, respected opponent and sort of learn from that.
So, Luke, American parents have been criticized for being overly praising of their kids, lavishing it on too much, and teaching them that they're special, even though they haven't done anything to earn the word special. And, you know, you look at the millennial generation, and people talk about how the millennials think they're entitled to things without having worked for them. Do you think what you're seeing in children's films is symptomatic of where we are as a society right now?
I think that one could draw that conclusion, certainly. As I mentioned, the fact that these two films, Turbo and Planes, came out within a month of each other and by separate studios, and they basically have the same paint-by-numbers plot, indicates that this has become a sort of default template for the animation industry to fall back on. And I think you have to ask yourself, where does that come from, and how did that become the default? And I think that the fact that, yeah, you do have this society in which we do like to teach children that they are special and that they should pursue their dreams at all costs is reflected in these movies. I think it is, you know, you can get into a cliche about these generations having everybody gets a trophy sorts of thing. I don't know. I don't use that language in my piece, but I do think that these movies are reflecting something in the culture.
We're talking with Luke Eplin, a freelance journalist who wrote about the cult of self-esteem in kids' movies. New ones, ones out this summer like Planes and Turbo, other ones as well. And we want to know what you think. Are kids' movies today taking their message of self-esteem too far? Are we as a society going too far to promote self-esteem for kids? Would you like these films to reintroduce ideas of failure, humility, and what to do when you get beat down, like Charlie Brown? And we're going to talk about that coming up after the break. Here's how you can join us. Call at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or you could post on the Central Time Facebook page. We'll get to your calls and more on this topic coming up after the news.
You're listening to Central Time right here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.
You're listening to Central Time. I'm Rob Barrett.
And I'm Veronica Rickert. We're continuing our discussion with Luke Epstein and Eplin, and we'll take your calls at 1-800-642-1234. That's 1-800-642-1234. And we want to know, are the kids' movies today taking their message of self-esteem too far? And would you like to see these films learn a thing or two from Charlie Brown?
We'll get to your calls in just a few moments. Luke, before we do that, though, we're hearing the Charlie Brown, the Peanuts theme song there. We were talking, actually, during the news. Some of those Peanuts movies and TV specials and the comic strip itself, for that matter, it was pretty harsh and sad. I mean, are today's kids ready for a litany of failure?
Well, I agree with you. I think that the Peanuts specials and the comic strip are exceptional in a way because Charlie Brown is a character who his defining characteristic is the fact that he fails. And so we are expected to see him fail, and because of that, it's not as shocking whenever it happens because that's just in keeping with his personality and in keeping with the way that the strip and the specials move. So if you transfer that onto, say, a Disney movie where you have a character that just constantly fails and the end of the movie ends in sort of disappointment, I think it would be quite shocking and probably not a very good movie.
Oh, but if there's a lesson there, if it's how you cope with failure in a noble way. I mean, isn't there like some kind of midpoint they could be working toward?
Absolutely. In fact, I think that Charlie Brown is, despite the fact that Charles Schulz, the creator of Peanuts, set him up for failure quite a lot, I think that there is kind of a virtue in this character. He's the pitcher of his baseball team who gets defeated every game in really embarrassing fashion. Yet the virtue of Charlie Brown is that he keeps coming back again and again and again. He perseveres. He doesn't necessarily wallow so much in self-pity as that he tries and tries again. And A Boy Named Charlie Brown is about him failing repeatedly until the very end, whenever he loses the spelling bee, he's in bed and he says that, "I'm just never going to try anything again." And rather than Linus telling him, like, "Oh, don't worry, you're going to find your thing, Charlie Brown," Linus just says, "Well, you know what, Charlie Brown, the world goes on regardless." And so it is this sort of this message that you have to carry on. I just want to add that I think this is at the other end of the extreme from Planes and Turbo. You have Planes and Turbo on one end and Charlie Brown on the other, and there's a vast middle ground that I would like to see a little bit to have explored more. I think that the movies have gone too far towards the one end of Planes and Turbo, and they should be brought a little bit back more towards the end of Charlie Brown.
All right, let's get our callers in on this. We've got John Paul joining us from Janesville. Hi there.
Hi there. I recently watched Wreck-It Ralph with my 5-year-old son and my wife, and I'm a huge fan of it. I'm a fan of video games in general. But I also feel that it really represents a good middle of the spectrum, in my opinion, because it truly shows a character obviously a villain that is pretty much despised, and he actually is given his medal. He's given that trophy that we keep talking about, that we keep hearing in the news about. and ends up losing it because he didn't, I felt, because the character didn't earn it. And I felt that was a great message for kids, that you really have to sacrifice, which he did. He sacrificed his friends, his family, his video game family, and everyone around him was just given everything because that's what their role was. And I thought that was a nice way of changing the script a little bit. And I think you touched right on it with Charlie Brown, how it's a message of hope, where keep trying to kick the football, even though you know Lucy's probably going to take it away.
All right. Well, thank you so much, John Paul. What do you think about Wreck-It Ralph?
Well, those are very good points that he makes. And one of the criticisms of my piece that I'll wholly admit up to is that it is a little bit black and white in the way that it's presented, because I'm using these extremes with Planes, Turbo, and A Boy Named Charlie Brown. And there is a middle ground in which a lot of these movies operate. And I think Monsters University and Wreck-It Ralph, while they basically take the sort of bare-bones structure from a Magic Feather Syndrome thing, where one character wants to do something that you wouldn't expect of this character, they manage to subvert that genre a lot and bring in these lessons, like this caller very rightly said. And so I don't necessarily disagree with that so much.
Thanks a lot for the call, John Paul. We'll go now to Polly in Wauwatosa. Hi, you're on the air.
Oh, hi, thanks. Interesting program, and it's always great to be able to have NPR to expand our minds. I was interested in your comments from the perspective of being a parent and a grandparent, and I guess the comment that most triggered my thoughts was your comment about things did not happen in single stages, and I couldn't agree more as an adult. But as I look at children and the purpose of books and stories and movies in the lives of children, I think that they need to be developed and managed or matched to a child's cognitive level. So mm-hmm. We have children who are in very, very different places in what they can think and feel as they grow, and that different kinds of stories need to be for different kinds of children, and they need to be age and developmentally appropriate for someone and not necessarily for everyone. And I guess as a parent, I was often concerned about some of the violence that existed and some of the Snow White kind of stories, and what was that doing with children? And was very happy to run across the work of Bruno Bettelheim, a psychiatrist who talked about how children have these concerns and fears that are very, very different than adults, and that all of these stories that children became attached to were actually helping them work through some of their biggest fantasies.
Like, gotcha. We don't have too much time left, Polly. Interesting point. Thoughts on any of what she had to say, Luke?
Yeah, that's a really good point. I think she's making about the cognitive level of children and the way that you have to sort of pitch these movies to them, and how adults have to always keep that into account. That said, I don't know if they necessarily have to sort of center around these sort of impossible dream scenarios where a character is shown achieving these amazing goals without having any sort of experience, sacrifice, or necessarily struggle through them. I think that they could be a little bit more, inject a little more humility and modesty into these sorts of things. But point well taken.
So, Luke, there's been a lot of research lately that kids who are told, you know, you're great at this, congratulations, you're special, they actually have lower self-esteem and they don't try as much. You know, you mentioned Charlie Brown kept kicking that football. If you had a message, you know, to give the producers of these films, what would you tell them to start writing about?
Oh, boy, that's a big question. To call on your first point, I think that if you are expected to succeed, or at least to gain sort of encouragement whenever you do experience a sort of failure, your instinct might be to just stop doing that, or to not try it again in the way that Charlie Brown is doing. And so
And so, yeah, I think it can be perhaps detrimental to always have this sort of success being shown. But yeah, I guess my message would just be to look more towards the Charlie Brown model and inject more sorts of things about failure and disappointment into these films without making them depressing like Charlie Brown. Of course. I still want them to be hopeful.
You know, my kid loves Charlie Brown, even though he is depressing. So there's something there, I think. I think you might be onto something. Kids today still love Charlie Brown.
Well, some people have told me that kids don't necessarily identify with him now because he is someone who doesn't win and in fact is never really encouraged. He's kind of bullied almost. And so I heard that kids identify with Snoopy more than Charlie Brown now.
And he doesn't have the best hair either, but there is still something there.
That's poor guy.
All right. Well, Luke, thanks so much for being here today.
Oh, thank you.
Luke Eplin is a freelance journalist, and his piece, You Can Do Anything, Must Every Kid's Movie Reinforce the Cult of Self-Esteem, is linked on the Central Time Facebook page.
Coming up next, we'll look at how Congress is going to handle the issue of military intervention in Syria. I'm Rob Ferret.
And I'm Veronica Ricker. You're listening to Central Time on Wisconsin Public Radio.